Let's turn in God's Word to Genesis and chapter 28. Genesis 28, we'll be reading verses 1 through 22, the whole chapter. Genesis 28, and beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the living and true God. So let's give our attention to them. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, and charged him and said to him, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you, and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham." So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram, to Laban the son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take himself a wife from there. And that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan." And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. Also Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan did not please his father Isaac. So Esau went to Ishmael and took Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife in addition to the wives he had. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night, because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." And Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And Jacob rose early in the morning, and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. And Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give you a tenth to you." Those are God's words. Now Jacob has received the blessing, and here he's warned to not take a wife from those of Canaan, but he's sent away because of his brother to take a wife from his mother's family. Isaac blesses Jacob with the covenant promises that were given at first to Abraham. And we also see Jacob's obedience to this as well in response. And is leaving by Esau, who rejected his birthright and did not repent. You see Esau's response, verses 6 through 9. And then we see Jacob's meeting with God by his vision of the ladder, and the angels ascending and descending, again restating of the covenant promises that were given to Abraham. And we see that Jacob knew the Lord, in which he there made a pillar and a vow in verses 20 through 22 there at Bethel, which means house of God. And then when Jesus, we remember this passage, When Jesus tells Nathanael in John 1, he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And Jesus is referencing this account of Jacob's vision so that when Nathanael, and we look there in John 2, and Nathanael in this passage there in John 1, just like Nathanael, we are to look to Jesus. We will, and as we do, we will see heaven opened. We will see Jacob's God and our God, just as Jacob did. This is all, this for all of us must look. We must look to Jesus as the gateway to heaven. You see this ladder, the angels ascending and descending. Well, how do we see that? Remember in John's Gospel, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So it gives us a clarification about the meaning of Genesis 28, that the way to see God, the way to ascend even to God, is through Jesus Christ, who is the gateway to heaven. And it is alone at the name of Jesus by which we must be saved. And so we come to Him, and we come to worship through Him, through His blood, even as we heard in the call to worship. And as the book of Hebrews teaches us, we come through Jesus Christ. And we worship through Him alone. Let's pray to the Lord. Our Father, thank You for Your Word. We're thankful for how we can use Scripture to interpret Scripture that's less clear to us, or at least less clear at the first, when we first read it, but we can find the rest of the Scriptures clarify many of those confusing things. We're thankful for this, that You reveal Yourself to us, but that the Word that You've given, because You've given us of the Holy Spirit, the Word that You've revealed to us is not gobbledygook in our ears. It's not gobbledygook to our minds or our hearts. But You reveal Yourself and You interpret it. You work it in us that it would be understood, just like You do the parables. And we're thankful for this, and we're thankful for the fact that Scripture, Your Word, interprets Your Word. Just as if we were to talk with somebody here, one of our neighbors, and we need clarification of what they said, they would clarify and give the sense. And so, Father, we're thankful that even more so, because this is Your perfect Word, Your perfect Word clarifies and clarifies Your perfect Word to our darkened hearts and confused hearts and minds. And so we're thankful thankful for this. And we're thankful that You give us Your Holy Spirit to sanctify us in our minds and also in our hearts by Your Word. Father, we're thankful for Your grace and Your mercy that has been shown to us this past week. And as we gather together this morning, we are thankful that we are able to meet together. Often before this year, we probably took meeting together to worship You for granted. And yet, Father, we pray that You will not allow that to be true of us the rest of our lives as we've undergone this year and the virus that's been going around and the government mandates and all these things that have sadly led to the closing of many churches, many Christians who have departed from You and rebelled against You and no longer worshiping You. Father, we pray that You will forgive us and any of the of this year, any of the mistakes that we've made and the sins that we've committed against You. Father, we ask that You would help us and humble us, but also show grace and mercy to us. Father, we ask that You would be expanding Your church, that Your church would go to the ends of the earth. And so we pray even for those churches of our denomination, our presbytery, that are planting churches in this time. And we're thankful for this, where most churches are not planting churches. And Father, we're thankful for the work that's going on in Houston and San Antonio. And Father, we ask that You would, in Oklahoma City as well, we pray that You will grant to those who are working in these church plants success. We pray that You'll provide ministers for them. And Father, we even pray for the possible work in Boise, Idaho, and some other church plants like Birmingham and others that I'm probably forgetting. But Father, you know, and we're thankful for them. We pray that you'll provide ministers and that you'll show success to these, that the kingdom will continue expanding, knowing that the church cannot be stopped by Satan. It cannot be stopped by the gates of Hades. The gates will be opened, and the gospel will go forth, and those who are under the power of darkness, those who are worshipers of the father of darkness, the devil, they will be saved of your elect. And we thank you for this, and we praise you, knowing that your promises will come about, as we've prayed so often, after going through Romans 11, of the many and the fullness of the Gentiles coming in and the Jews as well. We look forward to that when all nations will come and bow the knee and give gifts to Christ your Son, who sits on the throne as our mediator and our King. And then, Father, we do thank you as well. Often we think negatively of these things, but Father, we're thankful for illness and sickness that you send at your timing for your people, and to give us times that we are not in worship to show how, in a way, detrimental it is to not be in worship, and how, in a sense, lovesick we can be of not being with you, with your people, before the throne, as a gathered people, knowing that you love the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. As you say in Psalm 87, and so we thank you for sickness in that way. We thank you for sickness and illness that comes to bring judgment, your judgment. We're also thankful in it that it brings humility to us by your Spirit and humbles us, knowing and reminding us once again and over every time we get sick, that how dependent we are on a healthy body or a pretty healthy body. And we're thankful that you have given most of us healthy bodies. And we're thankful for your grace in this. We take that for granted as well. We give you the praise for being able to have blood flowing and our mind working, and how we have those little bacteria in us that are doing good work and not bad work. And we're thankful for all the immune systems that you've given to us. All these things we take for granted, and how little and insignificant it seems. And yet, how just with degrading that immune system for a time in our sickness, or how much of a struggle it is in our body, and sometimes not even able to get out of bed. And so, Father, we're thankful for your sustaining grace. We're thankful for your sending of disciplines to us and chastisements to really show us your righteousness and your goodness and your mercy. And so we do pray for those who are sick and not feeling well this morning and this day, that you would heal them and strengthen their bodies if it be your will. Father, pray that you'd be with Robert Sherwood as he's traveling to Indiana. Today, we ask that you would give him traveling mercies, and pray that you will give him wisdom about a church home as he's moved here recently. Thankful for the times that he's visited with us. And Father, we're thankful as well for the time that we have today to worship you. We pray that you would give us understanding of your word. But even as the last chapter we just read in Genesis 28, Jacob promising that he would be your, that you would be his God, and that he would give a tenth to of all that you gave to him. And Father, we ask that you would provide for us and our families, and that you would show to us that you are our God for those who may struggle with that. And then, Father, we ask that you would give unto us and provide for our families, that we might give to you. And for the sake of the church, for the sake of missions, and for the sake of the going forth and the spreading of the gospel to all nations. And as we had the session meeting this past week, we heard from our treasurer that the giving here was down in the last few months. And Father, we pray that we will be cheerful givers, voluntary givers, that we would notice the needs of the church, and we would give unto you for your glory. And we know that everything you provide, you will provide exactly what we need as a church, as a congregation. And so we trust your plan and all of it. And then Father, we finally ask that you would help us now as we continue worshiping you. You keep us from temptation, keep us from sin, and give us ears to hear your word, even as we sing now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.